The title for my sermonette today is Give Me a Vision. Now, a few years ago, back when we were attending an office, I woke up, I got ready for work, I put my contacts in like any other morning, and I drove off to work. At work, we had an early meeting, first thing, and it was during this meeting that I remember my eyes getting cloudy. My vision started to become not clear. This really started to freak me out. I've heard horror stories of people and having issues with their contacts. Well, I waited until after the meeting, and then there is an ER clinic just around the corner from the office. So I popped over there, and I proceeded to wait for a few hours to be seen. Love our ER clinics. It was during that time that I took my contacts out and I let my eyes rest. I also immediately started praying and asked for a prayer request. When the doctor came in to see me, it had been more than a few hours, and at that point my eyes had already begun to clear up. After him looking at my eyes and speaking with him a little bit, the best conclusion that we could come up with is that my contacts had become infected, and somehow they had not been cleaned properly, or maybe I'd reused them too many times. And anyways, it had caused a bacterial infection to start to build up in my eyes, but it had, you know, receded. Now, this whole experience left me a little nervous to put in contacts again. I think I waited probably a month and a half before I decided to try in contacts again. You know, it's when this happened, I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul and what he went through. In his case, he went completely blind. Such a shock, I'm sure it really grabbed his attention. Our eyesight is one of the senses that we are blessed with as human beings. The eye is such an incredible creation. I pulled a couple facts from the internet. Maybe it's something that you've known or know, or maybe it's something you don't know. The eye is one of the body parts that cannot be transplanted in a human, as there are 1 million nerve fibers that connect each eye to our brain. Our eye is also composed of more than 2 million working parts. The eye can distinguish over 10 million different colors. One of the other fascinating things is that what we see is made up of light reflected from objects and scenes we look at. However, because the cornea at the front of the eye is curved, it bends light as it enters the eye, meaning the image that we see is actually upside down. When it hits the retina at the back of the eye, our brain then interprets these images and it turns it right side up. Pretty incredible to think about. And that is just our eyeballs. Learning about these things always gives us the opportunity to pause and dwell upon the amazing things that God has created. Our eyesight is just one part of our body, and yet, without our eyesight, we would be wandering around in the dark. Now, Christ gives us a warning in Matthew chapter 6 and beginning of verse 22. He talks about the darkness that is all around us. And he shows us how easy it is to fall into this darkness. In Matthew 6 and 22, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. When your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." Being careful about what we are allowing in our lives becomes increasingly important as Satan realizes his time here is growing shorter and shorter. We will continue to see more and more tribulations, and yet we are supposed to be growing ever brighter. The light shining through us comes from our drawing closer to God. Seeing things affects us, spiritually and physically. It's not just seeing that affects us, it's also the knowledge that we gain by seeing. Well, Satan was keen to point out to Eve this in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says, when she saw it, it looked delightful. It appeared to be pleasant. The eyes not only see much, they also do much. They are a gateway for us to be able to gain knowledge. But we must be careful with what knowledge we gain. In the books of Psalms and Proverbs, many times these facts are shown to us. In Psalm 101 and verse 3, again from the New Living Translation, it says, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly, and I will have nothing to do with them. Psalm 119 and verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Again, in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. These few verses show us that our vision is so important physically and more importantly, spiritually. And so now I have three groups or people who I want to touch on quickly because their vision is mentioned and I want to see how important it is for us to understand their vision and how it affected them. And the first group of people that I want to talk about is the Laodiceans. They were an actual church, but we are in the era of the Laodicean church. And this church was told to get eyesalve to regain their vision. One of the things that Laodicea was famous for was this Phrygian powder, an ingredient that was used in a healing balm for an eye ointment. Christ is making a personalized reference to drive his point home to these people. Only he could give them true vision. We read in Revelation 3 and verse 18 to 19, it says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. A major part of our duty is to make sure that we are continuing to be zealous and repenting and changing when we need to. Christ tells us that it is his love that will provide the opportunity to be rebuked and to be chastened. You know, we should note that these church people were given an opportunity to still change. It's not too late to wake up, to have the vision corrected. And God wants people to see clearly. The second person that I wanted to reference was Samson and how he lost his vision. Samson was a Nazarite. He was not allowed to cut his hair. He was not allowed to eat anything unclean or drink wine nor strong drink. He was supposed to have a close relationship with God, to be a prophet and to lead his people. Unfortunately, his sight was mired with things of this world. It ended up physically blinding him. He was doing things that he should not have been doing, and then he lost his physical sight. He had to be led around. The end of his story is gruesome. He once again regains his hair and, by extension, his physical strength. And then he pulls off one last feat of strength, pushing two pillars against and collapsing a temple, killing a lot of leaders of the Philistines. A sad story. And then the last person is Paul. And I mentioned Paul at the start of my message. But it's always interesting to me to look at Paul's life. How he turned around 360 degrees from the way he was going. A complete change. He knew he was not perfect, but this did not stop him. It empowered him to keep going, to keep encouraging the churches who he helped form. This is the type of attitude that God knew he could use, what he saw in Paul when he called him. And so I wanted to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, for something that's rather interesting that Paul said. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. He says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. For he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Paul was given a vision. It helped define his life. I can only imagine that it helped him to push forward. The energy and the zeal with which he served the church was truly incredible and inspiring. Our opportunity to do the work today is the same as it was then. It's truly about how much we're willing to seek God. With this in mind, I think we too can have the vision that we need, that each of us need as we go forward. When we begin to have this proper vision, God will give us more vision, more understanding, more power and strength. The Laodiceans, Samson, and Paul, in their own ways, were similar. They each lost their vision at one point in their life. They were all used by God in various ways. Yet the reaction between them all is so different. What we get to draw from this is that it is really up to us individually. We get to choose. God and Christ are looking and wanting us to choose properly. Do we want a clear vision? Do we want to understand what is coming and what is going to happen? Or will we choose to be blind? Will we choose, as Eve did, to have the knowledge that was offered by Satan? Our choices every day will show God just exactly what we want our vision to be.